This was a failure as a person. But he raised me up to more than I can be. And he can do that in every individual life here today.
Amen.
Every individual life that is born today, that is taken in air, he can raise us up. Praise the Lord this morning for that promise, for that opportunity that he has presented to us. And if we accept what he's done for us, he can raise you up.
Amen.
He can. He can raise us out of that muck and that mire that this world puts us in and tries to keep us in. And that's what brought me to the point of Bible school this week. I was thinking, this is the most important Bible school Drift Run has ever had. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now think about that. Used to, the instructor at work had asked me what the most important part of my job is. It's that cabinet right there in front of me. As soon as I'm done with it, roll it down. The next one that's set right there, that's the most important part of my job, is that cabinet. So, Drift Run Church this morning, the most important Bible school that's ever been here is the one right in front of us this week. It's our priority to take care of these children, to raise up a child in the way she go. We'll hit these scriptures here in a little bit. But that's what it's all about. I've run into a lot of discouraging things in the last few weeks dealing with young people. So before I even get started, I'm going to pray right now. We'll get the word out, and we'll go from there and see where the Lord takes us. Lord, we praise you here this morning, Lord. We thank you that you are among us, Lord. Your word promises that you'll be among. We're two or more are gathered in your name, and I pray, Lord, that we are all gathered here in your name this morning, Lord. We ask now, Lord, you guide us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Move upon our hearts. Visit every soul that's here this morning, Lord. Stir the lips of this one up here up front, Lord. And again, I ask for you to forgive me. I praise your name, and I pray for our pastor this morning, Lord. Give him rest that he needs, Lord, and be in the midst of what they're doing, Lord. Again, I say, praise your name. These favors we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Praise the Lord this morning. Me and Rod was going fishing a week ago Saturday down to Kenna. Well, we had to get some gas, and I went inside, and I always try to tell the person, you know, Jesus loves you. Well, I seen this little necklace she had on, and it kind of indicated to me something amiss. So I and she's real pleasant. We had good, pleasant conversation. And I said, you know Jesus loves you, don't you? And she said, well, I'm pagan. And that's what I thought, that's what that star meant. I said, well, he loves you anyways. And she said, but I'm pagan, but thank you. Then I was reading an article in the paper, and this was a young lady, couldn't be much older than these young people right here. I read in the paper, it was a poll taken about church attendance, and it was in Marietta. It was a Marietta College student, in fact, quote, said, well, I don't know much about it. I never went to church. My parents never went. So I don't know much about it, and I've never chosen to go on my own. And that was on and on and on. The numbers used to be higher in the positive manner of church, and but now it's below. Okay, so that's kind of the state our society's in right now. That really got my attention, and I've been had the opportunity to fill in for Jason on Wednesday nights for a few weeks. And we brought the newspaper last week and just talked about current events and all the things. And it was like, well, why'd you do that for? Well, I'm thinking, yeah, these are young people. But that's what lies ahead for them. Okay, that's what Bible school is all about. It's we get caught up in the world today of about raising children. We're not raising children, we're raising adults. We need to be teaching these young people to be adults. If they're going to be children, we don't have to teach them to be children. We need to teach them to be adults. And it's of great importance as a Christian adult to teach Christian values in our children. Look at the world today. The adults have dropped the ball. And I'm not going to blame it all on the parents. I'm going to blame it on, I'm going to blame it on Satan. That's where the blame lies. But it's, we've all dropped the ball in one form or another. So, as we get started here, we're going to turn to Proverbs 22, verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. And you'll recognize it as soon as I read it. Train up a child in a way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. How many have ever been to Bible school? Big majority. And what influences did it have on your life? Just run this through your head. You don't have to answer out loud. But think about it. I was thinking about Bible school this morning. Well, several times, it was, mainly at Shepherd's Chapel, where their doors are closed now. But I remember being in the basement building crafts. Now you think, what's important about the craft? What's going on around me while I'm building that craft? I'm hearing adults. I'm hearing people talk about the Lord. And that's the main thing, is make them aware of what the Lord is, who the Lord is, why the Lord is what He is. Because there's going to come a day when they got to make a decision. And how can they decide without not knowing the information? You can only make a good decision when you got the right information. Raise up a child. It doesn't say parents raise up your children. It says raise up a child. I'm responsible for that little fellow right there. I don't even know what his name is. But I'm responsible. I'm responsible. Think about the burden of that. Yeah, I was responsible for my children in a worldly sense. But I'm responsible for those twin boys right there. Jacob Ryan. That's why I call them both, because I can't tell them apart. I just say, hey, Jacob Ryan. And they'll both answer. But each and every one of these children in here this morning is our responsibility. That's fact. That's truth. Take it to heart, folks. Don't let that run off. Don't leave that statement laying here. Take that statement home with you and dwell on it. Ask God to guide you about it. And it's not that we all got to do everything for them. You're an influence when they ain't even looking at you. Or when you don't know they're looking at you. Think about that. And I was thinking about kids, you know, about Bible school coming. Look at the effort that's already been put in. Look at that. Don't take that for granted, folks. That didn't just magically appear. There is a few certain people that put a great effort into that right there. And they didn't do that for praise for themselves. They did that for the kids. They did that most of all so they can learn about Jesus. What is that right there? Jesus was a kid. We all was kids. And that's what it's about this week, is Jesus' childhood. So that's, and we need to focus on the childhood of Luke. Chloe's sick. I know she just did. Ruby. I'm terrible with names. All these children. But again, I was thinking today, these babies right here. That young lady right there. Yep. You're important. I'm going to talk a little bit about our opportunities of influence. And right now is an opportunity. And whatever it might be, my opportunity may be speaking. Your opportunity into showing them, not boastfully showing them how to worship, but worshiping in spirit and in truth. And not worshiping to show somebody else how good I worship, but to show worship from sincerity of the heart. That's integrity and sincerity, and that's what the children need to believe. They need to see that we believe. Been reading a book on Billy Graham, his autobiography, and I'm up to where he's 40, and the testimony of all his children was, the mom and dad lived for Christ at home the same as they did in front of the camera. He said this wasn't a show. He was the same man in the pulpit as he was sitting in the recliner. And that's a powerful, inspiring book to me, is on the life. You know what his first ministry was about? Kids. His first ministry that he set up, that the Lord had led him to do, was youth for Christ. Youth for Christ. Why is it so important about youth for Christ? That little fella's laughing at me. That's why it's important about youth for Christ. As that fella grows, he needs to know that God created him, that God sent his son to die for him. And how else is he going to know? He can't read, he can't comprehend right now. But those people sitting right there are to teach him. Talk about the eunuch. How shall I know about the gospel unless somebody tell me? Peter went and told him. He was baptized. He received, once he had the information, he received Jesus Christ as his Savior. He knew what to do. He knew how to respond to that calling of the Holy Spirit. I had a guy at work one time. He wasn't a regular churchgoer, but he was going one day and things was going on, and he said, something was going on inside of me. What was that? I said, that was the Holy Spirit dealing with you. He didn't know what to do without being told, but he felt something. He didn't know how to respond. We got to show these children that Jesus Christ is the only way, is the only hope. This world is a dead-end street in hell. You ain't supposed to tell that to children. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. That might offend somebody. Take it up with the Lord. Opportunities of influence. And there again, this week is going to be a great opportunity. Because there'll be kids here that normally maybe don't go on Sunday. And there's going to be adults here that maybe regularly don't go. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. And are we ready to take advantage of it? Are you willing to give your best effort this week? And I know it's sometimes stressful and hard. I know it is. Think about the results. The stressful part and the hard part, temporary. Amen. Temporary. The rewards, permanent. Amen. Permanent. Opportunities of influence. Here is the bad. 1 Kings 22:52. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. He followed his parents. 2 Chronicles 22:3 says, he also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. Ahab is considered the most evil man in the scriptures. His children followed him. But have walked after the imagination of their own heart and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. What's going on in the world today? There again, back to the current events in the papers. We're seeing some of the articles. The drugs, the widespread drugs, I'm just going to say it, the widespread homosexuality. I read an article in the paper this week that one school is not going to have different color graduation gowns because they don't want to focus on a sexual gender, that you are one or the other. No, the world wants us to be, you are whatever you want to be, and you can determine that you're not created a man or a woman. You are created a whatever you want to be. That's wrong. That is wrong. And that's where the world's gone to. That's why it's so important that we instill in our children the scriptures. Amen. The word of God. Amen. That is clear cut. That homosexuality is an abomination. Leviticus 18:22 flat states that. Plainer than I'm saying it right now. That's the word of God. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah, and this was in Amos, this was in the lesson last week. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord, and have not kept his commandments, and their lies caused them to err, after the which their fathers have walked. Repetitious. Going on and on. And I've noticed just in my lifetime, it's big and small, and now it's turning around. It is. And it's not going to get no better. You know, we've heard Dave preach that. That's what it says it's going to be. So, it's not our goal in Bible school to change the outcome of the world, because God has... Our goal in Bible school is for these kids to know Jesus Christ and spend eternity in heaven. That is the bottom line. It's the same with us as adults. The bottom line is heaven and hell. Okay? When you receive Christ as your Savior, you have the opportunity to spend eternity in heaven with the God, the Creator, to sit at the foot of the throne.
Amen.
And the benefits of that is comfort and peace in this life. And the benefits of that is to be able to go through the hard times, to go through the struggles with physical death, the struggles with sickness, illness, all that, to go through, but have that containment in your heart of Jesus Christ, that only He can put that happiness within us. Okay, now we're going to talk about some of the good opportunities, the good influences on Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6, verses 4 through 9 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." That's directly to us, folks. When it's talking, He's talking to Israel, He's talking to Christians. He's talking to His people. We have been adopted into His people when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. So anytime you're reading and you see Israel, He's talking to you. So, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Are you giving everything you've got to loving the Lord, to seeking Him? Remember, the bottom line is heaven. We get so caught up sometimes in this world today that we lose sight of what we're doing. We got to stay focused. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach. Listen up. This is the main part right here, what we're doing this week. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk to him when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gate. He's telling us in every aspect of our daily lives, reflect Jesus. Reflect Jesus to these children. You're teaching them every minute of every day. When you lie down, when you go to sleep, you're teaching children. You're an influence on our children. And I say our children, there again, they're all our children. Okay? Mom and dad's got responsibility, putting clothes on them, raising them up in a home, bringing them to church, and you know all that. But it's all of our responsibility to all our children. You know, and I thought a lot about you, Belinda, in the classroom. And bless your heart, ma'am. Just a few more on the good influences. "And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart, in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments." 2 Chronicles 17:3, "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not unto Balaam." 2 Chronicles 26, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did." 2 Timothy 1:5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is also in thee. Now think about that. Sean, you're going to be an influence on your grandchildren, your children's children, right on down. And I can't help but think about my grandpa Charlie. What an influence he is on my life today, and he's been gone for 14 years. Yeah, and same with my dad. And it just passes down. The godliness, the Christian life. So that's why the Lord brought that to me, the importance this week. Yeah, you know, most of us have jobs. We're going to have to work every day and then come home and do that. Praise the Lord that we've called us to do that.
Amen.
Thank the Lord that He'll give you everything you need to do that. He will. He will. I was thinking about it in a personal thing this week. I remember when I'd be getting nervous, you know, about being prepared. And Billy Graham got nervous. You believe that? He did. He did. He got nervous. He preached in front of hundreds of thousands of people. But he did. He had kidney stones. Yeah, he was a regular old guy. I've learned that reading that. He did. He was a man called of God. No more than any of us. We are called to do something. So, and reading that and the Lord dealing with me this week about what He's called me to do, I need to be prepared to do it. Then He'll give me what I need. Billy Graham struggled with that. Believe it or not, he did. He struggled with that. And the bottom line for him, his calling, was to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And if you'll listen to a lot of his crusades, he preached Jesus Christ. One of his sermons was, Broad is the way, narrow is the gate. And that's the same today. So that, there again, I'm just going to emphasize the importance this week in our efforts with our children at Bible school, but in our everyday lives. It goes beyond this week. As Belinda, I think you could get through there, Belinda. I do. I think you can. As she gets a song ready, if you got a burden on your heart, Billy Graham would say, come forward. Come forward. Do not sit on that. Like Greg was saying, you come forward and you go back, or you're reestablishing the old man. Don't reestablish it before you even come. The Lord's got something on your heart this morning. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Talking the other day with somebody, the most humbled position we can be in before the Lord is right here. It is right here. It's not standing up here boasting, I'm a Christian, you know. If the Lord's dealing with your heart this morning, humble yourself before Him. And if anybody looks down on you, shame on them. Shame on them.